I appreciate so much Alan being here this evening and this morning, filling in for Willie, who's in Mississippi with a funeral and his family. So keep him in your prayers and his extended family. And I did put together a short list of sermons I didn't want to do tonight. One of them was on orderly worship. Just didn't want to go there. The other one that kept coming up was Balaam's talking donkey, and I just cannot do that sermon, not today. So I'm going to, instead, I think we've got a pre-Mother's Day sermon. And, you know, the Bible is not always kind, I guess, and if you look at the survey of women, seems like there's more notorious women, but so we're going to be looking at mothers specifically tonight. I have a few quotes I want you to consider. This from Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis. If you bungle raising your children, I don't think whatever else you do well matters very much. And we could say that for fathers as well. This one from Jill Bennett. Never marry a man who hates his mother because he'll end up hating you. At work, you think of children you have left at home. At home, you think of work you've left unfinished. Such a struggle is unleashed within yourself. Your heart is rent. And that kind of epitomizes the perhaps the modern woman. That was by Golda Meir, the Prime Minister of India. Mothers hold their children's hands for a short time, but their hearts forever. This one from Ezekiel, chapter 16, as is the mother, so is her daughter. Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote, men are what their mothers made them. Henry Ward Beecher said, we never know the love of the parent until we become parents ourselves. And this one from Lin Yuntang, the Chinese writer, she says, of all the rights of women, the greatest is to be a mother. Oliver Wendell Holmes wrote, the real religion of the world comes from women much more than from men, from mothers most of all, who carry the key of our souls in their bosoms. Kind of reminds you of the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And this is a Jewish proverb. God could not be everywhere, and therefore he made mothers. From Abraham Lincoln, I remember my mother's prayers. They have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life. And Mildred B. Vermont, being a full-time mother is one of the highest salaried jobs since the payment is pure love. And this one from an anonymous person. No gift to your mother can ever equal her gift to you, life. Now, this is not meant to be the Mother's Day sermon, but I thought this is a good time. It's just a week away. Get on those phones, get those cards out. But let's talk about three women from the Bible. And the first one I want to talk about is Eve. That first one. And so turning into Genesis in chapter 2, we see her beginning. The Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. Whatever the man called every creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman." That is why a man leaves. For she was taken out of man. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife. They become one flesh. You think about that. Someone else had made a point. You notice how Eve came from Adam's side, not his heel, not his head. And she would become mother of mankind. She would bear Cain and Abel. And on that fateful day when Cain slew his brother Abel, Eve lost two sons, didn't she? And yes, Adam did as well, and would then later have Seth, but what a tragedy she endured. What hurt she must have felt. And I think about what women so often endure. We talk about, you know, that movie, Steel Magnolias. I want to talk about strong women. Strong women from the Bible, strong women in our lives who have been so essential to our development, that have been so essential into us carrying on. You ever just take a moment and feel the pain in Eve's heart? What she was going through. And yes, Adam as well. Let's talk about yet another one. Because we think in motherhood that you should be able to have a child and let that child grow up, see it move out of the house, you know, go on and see other occupations, bring you grandchildren. But here, this next woman doesn't get to see all of that. Let's turn to Exodus in chapter 2. And this is the time in which Pharaoh has put out an edict to the women to kill all the newborns, especially those newborn males within the Israelite community. Picking up in verse 1, "Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds among the banks of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him." So here's a woman who loves her baby so much. She hides it, for trying to protect it from this edict of Pharaoh, hoping, maybe even planning what might happen next. Because in verse 5 it says, "Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe. And her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying. She felt sorry. 'This is one of the Hebrew babies,' she said. And then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?' And here's that opening. Though she may have been willing to just save her baby, just let it live and forego any part in raising it. But here, Moses' sister reaches out to Pharaoh's daughter. 'Yes, go,' she answered. So the child went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this baby and nurse him for me. I will pay you.' So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, I drew him out of the water. So there we see such faith, such love, such care and detail in preparing a basket. Never giving up hope. Perhaps even having a plan as to how she could save her child. That kind of love. Even if it only meant that she could know that he was safe. And yet she was blessed with more time, being able to nurse Moses until such a time as she would take him to Pharaoh. And we know through that time that it affected Moses in his life, that it changed him, because when he saw his brothers being persecuted, when he saw them being beaten, he grew angry. He identified with those from whom he came. But now I want to turn to Luke for our third chapter 1. Perhaps a very young Mary. Picking up in verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son. You are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. You can just imagine wrestling with this revelation, this what the angel is saying. How could this be in so many ways? And yet this angel proclaims it, and she asked him, How will this be? Mary asked the angel, Since I am a virgin. The angel answered, The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who is said to have been unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fall. Luke continues, verse 38, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word be fulfilled. A willing servant. Then the angel left. And at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, Blessed are you. Blessed. Mary in chapter 1 and verse 46 has a song. When I read this to you, I want to think about challenging what you typically think about women of that time. You might think they were uneducated. This seems to differ from that. My soul glorifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their throne, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. She seems pretty up on things, doesn't she? She seems to be pretty aware of the story of how God is working through Israel, of his promise, of his hope. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. And then I want us to jump into Luke in chapter 2, and there's that scene of the nativity, and there's the angels that appear to the shepherds, and they come to Bethlehem to witness this great sight, to see what the angels have proclaimed. And they're taking in all of this. But look in verse 19 of chapter 2, what Mary does. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Not just like mom. Who keeps those treasures? Who keeps those artwork? Who keeps the memory alive of all the things that you couldn't even remember unless mom told you? Who keeps that story alive? And there, Mary is storing it up as treasure. Now let's step back and think about these three women again. Each one had to experience great loss in their life. Mary would witness Jesus, perhaps at times in his ministry, but then also at the foot of the cross. God picks women to his will. Strong women. And we can in our own lives think about those faithful, those godly women that have been so important, so vital in our lives, that have been that school of education. Where? On their knee. That have taught us Bible story after Bible story that we can say, I don't ever remember not knowing this story or that story, because I was taught since I was an infant. And I think, what was it? What was it that would makes women so different from men? Oh, I know the obvious biology. But they just react. They behave differently. They've got that nurturing spirit. They've got that hopeful spirit. But they've got a strand of steel, don't they? Well, they won't break. They won't be crushed. And time again throughout ancient history, throughout our own history, we see women who have been such an important part, who have been there when we needed them. I go back in my own childhood. When I was little, I scraped my knee. Who would I go to? Well, Dad might be closer, but Mom knew how to take care of me. Or even later, I kind of got some personal issues I want to talk about. And, well, Mom, it just seems like it's easier to talk to you about things. You listen and then you give advice. We're always there. So don't be convinced. Maybe what the world says. God has a vital role for women in his church, in his kingdom, in our lives. God used women to bring about his purpose, to care for those who would later become great leaders, who would carry that promise, carry that hope on into the next generation. And sometimes in the Bible, we don't even know their names. Yet we can know through our own mothers, through our wives, and through our daughters, through our grandmothers, we can know what a vital part they were in bringing up that next generation of leaders, of caretakers, of followers of Jesus and followers of God. Boy, hasn't it gotten complicated. I think about what my daughters will be expected. They've got at one end a woman who can drive at NASCAR. But I also want to hold up, there's a lot of great things that can be accomplished, either being a single woman, being a wife, being a mother. In fact, can any of us even argue that it's probably the greatest role you could have? That it makes a bigger difference in tomorrow and what that tomorrow is going to look like than anything maybe I could try to do. Oh, I try to do my part. I try to be there. I try to get to know my kids, to understand them, to encourage them, to cheer them on. But you know when those tough times come. You know that when that first baby comes, they're going to want who by their side? Send mom. Send them. If you were blessed in that way, to have a godly mother who nurtured and cared for you and just seemed to just so naturally pour out her life in care of you, to see that the best came for you and gave you all that advice that at times you thought was a little bit nagging. Maybe you didn't appreciate it, but did she love? Wasn't she really looking for your best interest? And haven't you heard those same words come from your mother's lips to your children? That's when you know you're a parent. So I want to close tonight. Looking women in the eye. Thanking them for who they are. For the purpose that they have in God's kingdom. But I also want to make sure we understand this. Thank you, God. You really outdid yourself. What a wonderful, wonderful blessing women have been in our lives. And our girls need to hear. I think even our mothers and maybe our grandmothers need to hear. And I know many of us may have lost some of those. But we can tell the next generation. Love you. If we can help you in any way, if we can pray for you, if we can encourage you, if you're adrift in this world and you want to come back home, don't let another day go. Won't you come as we stand and sing?